Let's read the Word of God this morning in 1 John chapter 3. The sixth commandment is very simply worded and recited, "Thou shalt not kill." Who? Yourself. We'll see that in Lord's Day 40 this morning, but your neighbor. So listen to the Word of God this morning as it calls you to love your neighbor. Thou shalt not kill your neighbor. Who? You. Listen to the Word of God as it describes your neighbor, but also as it describes who you are. In 1 John chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Thus far we read the Word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of His Word. We turn to the sixth commandment and the Heidelberg Catechism's treatment of that commandment on page 22 and 23 in the back of the Psalter. What doth God require in the sixth commandment? That neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. Also that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that He abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that He accounts all these as murder. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God commands, God requires, God demands that we not commit murder. We use the positive, though, as our theme this morning, loving your neighbors life. So the law of God says, do not murder your neighbor. And we saw in the explanation of the sixth commandment in the Heidelberg Catechism, but also in the scripture reading that we considered this morning, that God not only forbids murder and hatred, but that He commands love. Love for the neighbor. Love for the neighbor's life. So we consider this morning this commandment under the theme, loving your neighbor's life, and we ask three questions. First of all, who is your neighbor? Secondly, who are you? Or who am I? And then thirdly, who gives the power to love the neighbor's life? You must not kill your neighbor. You must love your neighbor's life. And we ask the question this morning, why? Why may you not take your neighbor's life? Why may you not kill your neighbor? Why is that a sin? Why don't you have the right or the authority to take another male or female's life? And we ask this question, actually several questions, in connection with Cain, who is mentioned here in 1 John 3 this morning. Was Cain a government official who had the authority to sentence another person to death? And we know that the answer to that is no, not at all. And what about you and me? Is there anyone here in the congregation who has been appointed by the government so that you have the authority, the right to sentence or to put someone to death? The answer, as far as I know, for all of us here this morning is no. We do not have the right from a government perspective to put anyone to death. What about war? Was Cain involved in a war so that he could claim, I am a soldier who has killed an enemy soldier and I have the right to do that? Well, we know the history of Genesis quite well, and we know that the answer to that as well is no. Cain was not at war as a soldier representing a nation who had the right to kill Abel as an enemy soldier. You, if you are called upon by the nation to fight in a battle and you kill an enemy soldier, you know that that's not a violation of the sixth commandment. But, say again here about everyone here, that there isn't anyone here involved on behalf of the nation in any kind of battle against enemy soldiers. That means we can't claim that right to murder anyone or kill anyone. Was Cain involved in self-defense? That's the last question here about Cain this morning. Was Abel attacking him so that Cain killed him in order to protect himself or someone else that he loved? We all know about self-defense. And know that the sixth commandment does not say to you that you may not defend yourself or your loved ones, sometimes even by killing another. That may be legitimate self-defense. But right now, no one is attacking us, so that if you or I would put anyone to death, we would not be able to claim self-defense as the justification. And all of this is to make the point here, beloved, that whether it's me or you, there isn't anyone in this congregation who can claim with regard to another person, I have the right from God to put this person to death. If you or I kill anyone, it's not because we have judicial authority. It's not because we are combatants in a war. And it's not because we are protecting ourselves or anyone else. If you or I kill anyone, it's murder. Why? Why is it murder if we kill anyone? Why is that a sin? And the answer is that this has to do, first of all, with who the other person is. What do you have to know about that other person so that you can say, I may not kill that other person? You have to know, first of all, that that other person is a human being created by God. It's in this sense that people in the world do not know who their neighbor is. People in the world might be able to say, I know my neighbor well. I know my neighbor's name. I know my neighbor's background. I know his occupation. I know all kinds of things about my neighbor. And yet, when it comes to this, they really don't know anything at all about their neighbor. They don't know that that neighbor is a fellow human being created by God. Not an animal that evolved from monkeys. A person may live with his or her neighbor, work with his or her neighbor, say, I know all kinds of things about this other person. And yet, if they don't view that neighbor as a human being created by God, they do not know who their neighbor is. 1 John 3 is perhaps calling our attention to God's creation of every human being. In verse 11, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And the beginning there could be the beginning of the preaching of the gospel, because John is speaking about the message that we've preached to you, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. But then, right away, he goes back to Cain. "This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." That's verse 11. And then verse 12, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother." And by the way, there is a biblical proof that murder is wrong. It's condemned by God as sin. Cain slew Abel, and that is described as wicked. He's the wicked one, exactly because he murdered his brother. So we're going back to the beginning. We're going back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4. And it would be good for us even to go back before that to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the state of perfection and say, now, what did Adam have to say about Eve? And what did Eve have to say about Adam in the beginning? Adam had to say, God made her. And Eve had to say of Adam, God made him. And Adam had to say, that means that Eve is not only mine, my wife, she's God's. She's God's daughter. Now, we know that in the beginning there was no death in paradise. Therefore, Adam and Eve couldn't kill the animals or each other. But the fact is that Adam had to see that there's a dignity in Eve that there isn't in the animals or any other creature. She, like me, has dominion over all of the other creatures. She, like me, was specially created by God. Not evolved out of these other creatures. Specially made by God in the image of God in true knowledge, holiness, and righteousness. What did that mean for Adam? Well, he didn't have the sixth commandment. God hadn't given him that. Moses hadn't come yet. But Adam knew. This means she's God's. She's God's creation. This means I may not kill her. Is that it? The Catechism points us to think along these lines. Adam in the beginning had to say, and Eve had to say this about Adam, God created her, gave her life. I not only may not kill her, I may not hate her, I may not be envious of her, I may not wound her with thoughts, words, or deeds. God gave her to me. It's obvious, isn't it? To love her. To care for her. This is what people in the world in which we live are missing. They don't know God. They don't know His Word from the beginning. And they don't know that even though human beings today are not specially created from the dust of the earth the way that God created Adam, or out of a rib bone the way that God created Eve, human beings today are produced in the way of childbearing and childbirth. And yet, we need to look at each other the way that Adam and Eve did in the beginning. And at this point in the sermon too, beloved, understand, it doesn't make any difference if that person you're looking at is a child of God or not. It is true that we understand that in the fall into sin, not everyone bears the image of God. The human race, through that fall into sin, lost the image of God. And John makes that point very clearly here, that those who are dead in sin are not bearing the image of God, but they are bearing the image of the devil. You're dead in sin, John says, you're of the devil. And yet, the fact is that going back to the beginning, when God created man, male and female, He made them in His image. He made human beings, therefore, dignified. There's a sanctity to human life. And the people of the world who treat human beings as animals, as fetuses that you can abort, as old, worn out senior citizens you can euthanize. They don't understand this. But you and I, we believe this. Do we not? We make this our confession. My wife, who is my neighbor, my children, my fellow church members, my co-workers, my next door neighbor, it doesn't matter who it is. It may be somebody whose name you don't know. You have to be introduced yet. You don't know anything about their background. And yet as a Christian, you know something about who your neighbor is. Because the Word of God says, this person is a human being created by God. Don't shoot him or her. Don't stab him or her. But let's make it much broader than that. This person may be an unbeliever. You don't know them well. You don't have the right to hate, to be sinfully angry with, to hurt with your words or your deeds this human being created by God. So, don't kill your neighbor, but love your neighbor as a human being created by God, first of all. And then the second thing we need to know about our neighbor is that this person is saved by God through Jesus Christ. Or, going to add this too, or if that person's not saved by Jesus Christ, he or she could be. Now we're going to focus on those who are saved by Jesus Christ because that's what John is speaking of here in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the world doesn't know us and doesn't know God. And he expands on that through the whole chapter so that John is saying here, the commandment comes to you who are the people of God. And little children, you are to love your brother. That is, those who are one with you in the family of God. By nature, we are part of the world. Now we are in God's family. And John tells us why here in verse 5. And you know that He, Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. So this is a gift that we have been given by God's grace through Jesus Christ, that we are delivered from sin and death. We are part of the church. And now John is saying this is what you need to apply to your neighbor in the church so that all you need to know about your neighbor is that he is a human being created by God. But now in the church you can add this, and this is a human being who has been saved from sin through the work, the sacrificial suffering and death of Jesus Christ. It's powerful, isn't it? You look at your neighbors and say, now, this person was created by God. Should I kill her? Should I be angry with her? Should I attack her? No. But now, this person was redeemed by the death of Jesus Christ. Should I hate her? Hold a grudge against him? Thought, word, deeds, wound this person? The answer is obvious, isn't it? No. Our calling is to love the neighbor whom God has created, and especially the neighbor whom Jesus Christ has redeemed in his blood. To say about that neighbor, this is a person that I must love as myself. And how? The Catechism spells that out. Show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, all kindness. Is that too much? Is that too much to do? No. The Christian thinks this way. When I look at this person and see that this person was created by the God of heaven and earth, and that this person was redeemed by Jesus Christ, that makes sense. Love, and show that love in words and deeds. So this is why we must love the neighbor's life, because we see him or her as a human being created by God, and then in the church as a sinner saved by Jesus Christ. But now, who are you and who am I? That's the second thing that we consider this morning as we look at the sixth commandment. Let me be clear. Everyone in the world is required to keep the sixth commandment. I say let me be clear because I do remember saying something in the fifth commandment about everyone under authority is required to honor authority by God, even an unbeliever. But somebody asked me about that after the sermon, and it may have not been made clear enough. And so now this morning too, when we come to the sixth commandment, God isn't saying only to the members of the church, thou shalt not kill, and if you kill, you're guilty of murder. God is saying this about the whole human race, and we see here in 1 John 3, the condemnation of the murder-loving, murder-committing world. But you see, the point that John is making is this. Murder is the normal activity and lifestyle of the people of the world. And here's the antithesis. Here's the difference that salvation in Jesus Christ makes. This is the difference that being known of God and being saved by God makes. That you know that murder is a sin characteristic of the lifestyle of the sinful world, and that it is not to be part of your lifestyle as a child of God. And so, John, and God through John tells us, this is who you are. You're not the world anymore. You're not part of the world. The world lies in death. Verse 1, or verse 2 rather, the people of the world do not know God. verse 6, they do not abide in God. They are not born of God. They are of the devil. And then verse 14 speaks of this, about you and me. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, which implies that we know that the people of the world have not passed from death. They are still dead. They lie in death and they hate the brethren. They hate each other. In other words, when you ask, who am I this morning? You have to say, I'm not one of those people who still abides apart from Christ in death. That's the world. And as we look around about us in the world, we recognize that the world is, and it's not just the Nazis who were under Hitler back in the days of World War II, and it's not just Stalin and what characterized the Soviet Union under his rule, that there was a culture of death. But we see it even here in the United States and all throughout the world, where God is not known, where people do not abide in Christ, but they abide in death and are of the devil. There's a culture of death. And we recognize it. Yes, we do in abortion. Here are dead people. Dead in sin, no wonder. They will murder unborn babies. We see it in euthanasia. Dead people, dead in sin. They don't know God. They don't have the hope of eternal life. When life becomes miserable, no wonder they have no hope and say, you know what? We could murder these people. Elderly people, cancer patients, whoever. This is a mercy killing, they'll say. That's part of this culture of death. Dead people who don't know what life is. And who, therefore, live in murder. But it's much broader than that. And we need to make sure, beloved, that we are not desensitized. There's so much murder. You see it on the television. You see it on, yes, all of the social media pages. And remember, it's not just the shootings that happened in Chicago. There were murders last week in Chicago. Or murders in New York. Remember, it's not just where there's an abortion clinic. There's murders there. And where there are people committing euthanasia, whatever. There's murder there. But on every single tweet, every single snap, every single email, whatever it is, where there's hatred, where there's jealousy, where there's sinful anger expressed, where words are typed or spoken to cut down, there's murder. And if you look at what's going on in the world of entertainment, video games, movies, on the internet, in our homes, you will see the evidence that this is a world that lies in death, where there is a culture of murder. But John comes in 1 John 3 with a message of hope and of life. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we're not of the devil. We are called the sons of God. And that includes the daughters. We're the children of God. And beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have life. And it's eternal life. And it's spiritual life. And now, what John is saying here, let me read verses 14 through 16 first. We know that we have passed from death unto life because We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. They have eternal death. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You have been delivered from death. That's the message. You have been given life. And the message is not only this: Jesus Christ did all this for you. And so now, because of Jesus Christ, you're no longer going to eternally perish in hell. Because of Jesus Christ, you're going to have eternal life in heaven and the resurrection of the body, and you're going to be like Jesus. But the message is, because Jesus Christ has given you this life, now you must live. How? Well, you're not going to be perfect in this life. But you are going to start saying no to murder. And that means no to the things that God accounts as murder. I'm going to stop envying my neighbor. I'm going to stop stirring up hatred and anger, seeking revenge. And I'm going to start looking at my neighbor now and saying, yes, because of the life of Christ in me, I know that my neighbor is a human being created by God. And then when I look at the other members of my family who are saved by Jesus Christ, or the other members of the church who are saved by Jesus Christ, I'm going to say, and now I'm going to look at the other people here and see them as my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm going to start putting this into practice. No, I don't have the right to hate this person or to be cruel to this person. I don't have the right to do that, but I have the calling, the privilege to love this person. So, because you are a child of God, you say, I will keep the sixth commandment. I know who my neighbor is. I know who I am. And I know where the power comes from. It's good that we reflect this morning on our Savior and the salvation that we have through him. John says, remember, he was sent and he was manifested. He was made known to you as the one who came to take away your sin. He who had no sin. And that's not all. Not only did he humble himself, come down so that he who had no sin could take away your sin, suffer and die in your place. He has given you life. He's regenerated you. You're born of God through Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God dwells in you so that you have life and you have this peace and happiness with God. And you have the hope that that regenerated new man in you will never die. You're not subject to death. You're not part of the culture of death. You have eternal life. And one day, this is true, Jesus Christ is going to appear in his glorious body that has been reunited with his soul. You're going to see him, but you're also going to be made like him. And you're going to live with the God who created heaven and earth and who has saved all of his people forever and ever in heaven. And what does all this point to? All of this points us to the love of God for us. A love in which God said, you deserve death, but I love you, and I'm not going to give you death. I'm going to give you life and salvation through my Son, Jesus Christ. So that, beloved, here's the point. We have been saved by love unto love. And John is telling us about the great love of God wherewith He has loved us in Jesus Christ in order to say to you and me, yes, I know the power of sin in your heart. I know the power of sin in your life. I know how deeply rooted hatred and envy and anger and murderous words and thoughts and deeds are rooted within you. But the love of God in Jesus Christ has broken that power. It is able to deliver you right now from hatred and all forms of murder, so that you can go forward loving God and your neighbor. May God give us that grace. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of Thy love, which is ministered to us through the cross yet today by the power of Thy word. And may it be that hearing the commandment this morning, we have not only heard words, but may Thy Spirit be at work to apply that commandment to our hearts, that we may know who Thou art, that we may know who we are, that we may know who our neighbor is, and live in the power of the love of Jesus Christ that dwells in our hearts. We pray, Father, that we may then, even in the midst of this world that is filled with sorrow because of the culture of death and murder, may we enjoy life and the peace of life with Thee and one another. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Reminder of the fact that especially in the church, we are to live in love and peace. Let's sing stanzas 1 and then 4 and 5, 1, 4 and 5, 350.